This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Broadband Wireless Access World. We're about to speak for the second time in the history of this show with Diana Neff, who's the Chief Information Officer for the City of Philadelphia. Welcome back to Broadband Wireless Access World.
Thank you, Mark.
Essentially, I'm calling to see how the work of the Wireless Philadelphia Executive Committee is going. How's the progress been?
We're making good progress.
Yeah.
And as you're probably aware, we had a little bit of a hiccup.
Well, we're going to talk about that in detail in a second. But apart from that little hiccup, were there any problems getting the committee up and running and having it do its work, or has it been pretty smooth sailing?
It actually has worked out very well. We had very committed stakeholders from the community. We held over 13 focus groups, and each of the committee members was responsible for bringing in their sphere of influence,
right,
people to those focus groups. We held two community forum, open mic forums, for just anybody that was interested to come down and hear about it, had committee members be on the panel and talking about the program. So they've been very good about coming in, making good suggestions. We've gone through what we call our stakeholder analysis, identified the stakeholder groups, what the needs and requirements are, which then feed our business plan. We've also gone over the different business models,
right,
looking at how we're going to structure the organization. You know, should it be a public free net? Should it be a nonprofit? Should it be a private consortium or a cooperative wholesale model?
Right.
So, you know, we've been looking at a lot of those issues, and then we've been looking at the return on investment, because one of the requirements for building this is that it be cost neutral to the city.
Right, cost neutral. Okay. Just say a little bit more about the needs assessment. What have emerged as the major needs or the major issues that you're going to want to address and solve with whatever system you end up with?
That it needs to be universal,
right,
you know, citywide.
Right.
That it be low cost. That there be a security. People are concerned about security, as they should be.
Right.
That there be multiple tiers for pricing.
Okay.
So that if you're an institution and you want to be able to subscribe for a targeted group, that you be able to do that. That it provide both a fixed wireless, what we call nomadic wireless, and that's the outdoor wireless, so in the public spaces, but for tourism.
Right.
In that focus group, is they want to be able to use Wireless Philadelphia wherever they go in the city, and not just at specific location.
Right.
And there they wanted it to be variable so that they could subscribe for a day or, you know, a week or a month. In the healthcare community, again, they needed it to be secure. They wanted it to be affordable so that they could do outreach and that telemedicine could be, addressed. So if they need to be able to do monitoring from people's home, it had to be high speed.
Right.
They didn't want to dial up speed. They wanted a true high speed, 1 megabit upstream and downstream capability.
Did either issues on the national level of homeland security or local issues of emergency medical technicians and police and fire, did they have some input into this?
Internally to the city, yes, they did. We have been meeting. We have had, I talked mostly about the public.
Right.
But internal to the city, we've met with our public works type operations, streets and water and license and inspections, to hear what their needs are. We've met with our social services group to hear what their needs are, and the ability to communicate with 300 to 400 service providers that the city contracts with.
Right.
And then with public safety, we've met with them. Heavy concerns around security. How do you make sure that they would have access in emergency where they could take over all the channels,
right,
if they needed to? So we've been addressing those issues.
Okay. Now, overall, what you've done is put together a comprehensive needs assessment. Have you found that the needs of the different constituencies compete or cooperate or can be relatively easily aggregated into a universal plan that satisfies everyone, or are there trade-offs?
We are looking at being able to satisfy a base level for everyone.
Right.
And providing, obviously, business opportunity for the business community to participate in this program.
Both as a user or as a provider?
Both.
Okay.
And so a lot of interest from our minority chambers and small business of the Greater Philadelphia Chamber in having, again, affordable access, real-time, good uptime capability, and so that they can expand their businesses, interest in being able to have video monitoring
right
over there, you know, so those types of things.
Essentially, so anyone who's got a small business in their home or they're somewhere else, they want to see if someone's sneaking into their place at any time, they want to be able to access it that way.
Yeah, and one of the interesting stories, I think, had to do with a small proprietor that had two shops and was interested in opening a third, but he had a concern about being able to be in three places at once.
Right.
And so for him, video, he had two things. One, that he could do real-time inventory.
Right.
But two, that he could have a camera that might watch the cash drawer.
Exactly.
Help encourage more cash to get into the drawer.
And more generally speaking, has this project started to elicit a lot of innovative and imaginative ideas about the application of this technology throughout the city?
I've actually had to kind of push that back.
Right.
And say, we need to get the system built
right
to be able to grow and to handle this and look to the future. But, you know, everybody wants to come and pitch
right
services that can be provided over it. Our goal is to build a very secure platform on which new entrepreneurial businesses will be able to offer their services. And if people are interested, they can subscribe to them.
Okay, and the idea then that's emerged from this is that you want to have a kind of baseline capability for access for everyone, but have a system that can offer extra bells and whistles to people who want to pay for it.
Correct.
Okay.
And
so
that would be, you know, actually done through companies, not through this organization.
Right.
Again, we're building that infrastructure to allow businesses to then ride on that
right
for a, you know, a wholesale rate, and then they can offer their services.
Okay, but
to end users.
Right, service. But in general, the idea that this would stimulate business within Philadelphia seems to be, at least so far, being borne out by the reactions you've been getting.
Absolutely, you know, and the university college students have been some of the more entrepreneurial
right
in mind and spirit, and need this universal access capability at an affordable price so that they can launch new companies
right
and sell their goods and services.
Okay. Now, that's sort of on the demand side. On the supply side, how you're going to do this, what the business models are, have you pretty much you've got a continuum or several continua that range from total city ownership to total city support of private ownership? What
we've narrowed it down.
What have you narrowed it down to?
House Bill 30 has helped us do.
Yeah, we're going to get to it, right?
But the we're looking at the a nonprofit model.
That would essentially be a nonprofit corporation that would be set up.
Correct.
Okay.
And then the two options that we're keying in on for the mayor's decision is a cooperative wholesale model,
right,
where the entity would contract to have the system designed, deployed, and maintained.
Right.
Then they would do a wholesale model that for a low fee, they would contract with internet service providers or WIFs, wireless service providers,
right,
to actually do the care and feeding
right
to the end user.
Right. What's the difference between the nonprofit and the cooperative models?
Cooperative wholesale model. consortium?
Yes.
Is where you would actually, the government would contract directly with the private companies.
Right.
And but there wouldn't be any control of fees or wholesales. It would be like leasing our assets.
Okay. Now, does Philadelphia have a public utility department that runs the water and power into the city residents?
There are
is that
separate
private
entity. The water department is a part of the city.
Right.
Then the gas is a separate utility.
Right.
It's the Philadelphia Gas Works.
Right.
And it is an agency regulated by the PUC.
And what about that's gas and water. What about electricity?
That is provided by private sector PECO.
Right.
Is the local electric company.
Okay.
And they're a total private industry.
Okay. Now, I just finished interviewing a spokesperson for the Universal Power Line Council, which is pushing a broadband over power lines.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering whether you've examined that, how much you've examined it. And obviously, it's the Wireless Philadelphia Executive Committee, not the Broadband Over Power Line Philadelphia Executive Committee. But I'm wondering whether you've considered that as on the technical level as one of the options for last mile delivery of services, or whether that's outside of this.
I personally am just marginally familiar with it. It's a fairly new bill that came out a month ago or a month and a half ago.
Right.
And I had talked to PECO, our local electric company.
Right.
They have not shown any interest in getting into that.
And do they sort of own the power lines?
Yes.
So it would be up to them if they wanted to do that.
That's right. It's not a city-owned. We don't own our own electric.
Okay.
So it's a private, and they would have to make the business decision to do that. And we haven't had an indication so far that that's a direction that they're heading.
So, or in fact, if they do decide to do it, they would do it on their own, and they would possibly be competing with what wireless systems the city put in place.
Okay.
And
again, we're fine with that.
Okay.
We think it's healthy to have these multiple choices.
Okay. I think now we're going to get to the crux of what's going on here. It's called Bill 30. What is Bill 30, and how is it? Where is it in the pipeline? I understand it's passed the legislature, and it's either sitting on the governor's desk to be signed or vetoed, or it's somewhere in his office.
Yes, until midnight tonight.
Tell us what Bill 30 is from your point of view, and how it's going to affect, how it already may have affected your plans.
Right. Well, House Bill 30 is a Telecommunications Act bill for the state of Pennsylvania.
Okay.
It has been in the House subcommittee for about a year and a half.
Right.
It was originally written as a wireline bill. Today it has terms in there of advanced telecommunication and broadband services. And what we objected to was a provision within that bill that said any political subdivision or entity created by a political subdivision, i.e. a nonprofit,
right,
could not deliver broadband services, advanced telecommunications or broadband services for a fee.
Okay, and when was that a provision added to the bill?
I don't know when it was added to the bill. We do know that looked at the bill, and it had been a sleeper bill that it had not come out of the subcommittee. It did not include that statement. So sometime between 9 months ago and 2 weeks ago,
right?
There was a change. It came out of the subcommittee in this, what they call lame duck session of when they're trying to get all of the bills passed. And we were not aware of it until one of our attorneys actually said the bill is out and it's on the Senate floor to discussion. So this was like the 12th of November when we got word.
So blindsided wouldn't be an exaggeration.
Correct.
Okay, and what have you been doing? Now, this sounds like it's pretty much directly aimed right at what you're trying to do, isn't it?
I will leave that to your conclusion. But
okay.
I would say so.
what have you been doing to try? Did you make a last minute effort to try to get it taken out of the bill?
We did. We worked through our Philadelphia delegation.
Were they pretty united on that? The Philadelphia delegation.
At the Senate level, they were.
Right.
And they made some modification. In fact, the grandfather clause,
right,
that is in the bill that allows any political subdivision that has a system up and running on January 1st, 2006 is grandfathered and obviously exempt from that provision.
Now, is that a loophole big enough to drive the whole system through? Could you have your system up and running by January 1st, 2006? Or part of it?
Possibility, but it would be extremely difficult to do.
If the governor signs the bill, does that put the kibosh on this whole plan?
No.
What happens?
One of the things that the governor's office has asked, and Verizon made an overture to the city, is to discuss how we might make this provision such that the city would not oppose it.
Okay. Well, I wrote an article yesterday based on an email I got from a spokesperson for Verizon, and if I can read it to you, she said, "That said, we never intended to stand in the way of Philadelphia's proposed Wi-Fi program, and as I've said, we've made assurances to the city that we won't." What do you think of that?
Well, that's nice, but they didn't contact us and tell us about the change. Didn't know it was coming out of the House, so we didn't mean to, but in fact they can't just decide if the bill passes that they're going to waive it. They would have to follow the rules and regulations in the bill, and that's what we've been working with, is to find a compromise that would allow Wireless Philadelphia to go forward.
And is that being negotiated within the context? Well, the bill has been passed as it is, and it has to either be approved or not approved by the governor.
We still continue to request that the bill be vetoed.
So you're lobbying that it should be vetoed, including all of its other provisions. Apparently, this is one paragraph out of 55 pages, but it's an important paragraph for you.
It requires the veto to go back to be changed.
Oh, okay. So essentially, the city is urging the governor to veto it.
Yes, and again, the governor's office asked us to work together to see if we couldn't come with a compromise so that we could build Wireless Philadelphia.
So the compromise,
that's what we have been doing.
And the compromise would be between the city and whom?
And Verizon.
And then if you took that compromise to the governor, he'd veto the bill, it would go back to the legislature, and they'd pass it without
the bill.
he'd sign the bill.
Yeah, so there would be, the compromise has to be to find some way within the bill to allow Wireless Philadelphia to move forward.
So, in other words, the city of Philadelphia and Verizon would need to make a sort of an agreement outside of the bill that would say if the bill is signed, then you're going to proceed on this compromise basis.
Right, and then
is that the idea?
We would have to go to, as the bill stipulates, you have to go to your local exchange carrier and ask them to build it. If they decline it, then you can go forward.
So they sort of have first refusal.
Correct.
Now, the argument that Verizon seems to be putting forward is that they're being required to make broadband available to everyone, and if they do that, if they're going to do that, they need to make a big investment, and they don't want to have that investment undermined by competition. Is that a fair representation of what their argument is?
That you would have to ask them.
Okay, well, I'm going to do that next. Is the problem, though, that they're do you think that they're worried that if you install this system, not only would you cut into their broadband data market, but that you'd be able, that you or the nonprofit entity or private people working within that context would be able to provide voice over IP services that would cut directly into their voice market? Is that what the main problem is?
We have not discussed voice over IP. That's not been a part of our discussion.
It is
not a service that the city is looking to provide.
Right. But whoever does provide the broadband has essentially then created the platform on which voice over IP can pretty easily ride.
If someone chooses to offer that service,
right,
and can do that provisioning and provide that, they could use the infrastructure to do that, although it's not here today.
Okay. So what are you, on the timetable here, the governor has until midnight today. It's 2 o'clock. That's another 10 hours, right, to either veto or sign the bill.
Yes.
Do you have an expectation which way it's going to go?
No.
are there people from the city and from Verizon sort of clamoring to get into his office to tell him to do what they think is best for the people of Pennsylvania?
To the governor?
Right, right. Do you have lobbyists there trying to reach him and
yes,
talk to him?
Yes, we've had lobbyists as well as Verizon has lobbyists that I'm sure are putting on pressures. There's been a very large public campaign. You know, the provision in the bill gives Verizon until 2013 or 2015, depending on if it's rural or urban,
right,
to build out the, you know, the wireless.
And what kind of timetable did you have in mind, possibly?
2006.
Okay.
And I think there's an important issue here. And when we talked about the types of services being offered, we talked about fixed. But there's also two services that Verizon or any other local exchange community doesn't provide today, and that's nomadic,
right,
and portable.
Right.
Those services aren't provided with DSL or with cable modem. Those are fixed wireless solutions.
Right.
So there is a need here that isn't being met. There is not another broadband. So just as the government helped spur the use of the World Wide Web and that innovation, we're doing the same thing with the nomadic capability of wireless.
Do you want to say anything in general about the I mean, I sense you're a little hesitant to sort of really get political about this, but
that it needs to happen. You know, after the mayor's decision, we are talking with Verizon on a compromise. Not that. What we were compromising on is the provision that would prohibit us from doing wireless Philadelphia. We have lobbied to veto the bill. There are good things in the bill. Nobody's arguing that the whole bill is bad. We just think the bill needs more work. It's languished for 18 months. What's so critical about, you know, taking the opportunity to write a really good bill?
Okay. Could you say anything, though, on the general philosophical question of whether a private for-profit telecommunications corporation ought to have the power to decide the telecommunications fate of 1.5 million people there in Philadelphia who may want to go in another direction. Yes?
I will speak personally and not for the city.
Okay.
I believe that, you know, a corporate giant should not be able to dictate to a home rule charter city with elected officials that they know better what is needed for the community than the governmental process.
Okay.
I just think basically and philosophically that's wrong. I think that the problem we've had, the United States continues to decline in the order of broadband delivery in the world.
Right.
And because of the types of restrictive regulations that local exchange carriers are being able to get from states. So I think it sets a bad precedent for us to be competitive at a world level in the deployment of broadband.
Right. What I was going to ask, that ties in exactly what I was going to ask next about the precedential value of this for around the country. It seemed to me, since we spoke the last time, the city of L.A. set up the a very similar panel to look into broadband wireless for Los Angeles, and it's just generally seemed that there's been an increase in interest in municipal broadband around the country based on what Philadelphia did, and it seems
now there's a need. I mean, we all have communities of you know, low income and disadvantaged neighborhoods that need to be able to be competitive in this global economy, and we're helping to make sure that our communities are that. You know, it's the cities that provide the broadband access. You've got examples of smaller communities where whole companies were leaving because they didn't have access.
Right.
You know, so we think it's healthy to do whatever is necessary to be able to provide that. You need to have a telco strategy on how you're going to deal with your telcos. And, you know, in our case, it's to find a compromise because we've been dealt with a bill that could prohibit us from going forward. And, you know, that's also, I think, an example to other communities that you can, you know, work with your telcos. You can get compromise if you can't, you know, get the bill defeated.
Have you been working with interested parties in other cities? Because it really sounds to me, I'm trying to draw some ideas here together, the committees of correspondence that were set up in the pre-revolutionary period in the United States, out of which Philadelphia played an extremely important part as the premier city in British North America at the time, to unite against the imperial overlords to at the time was the British government to get what the people in Philadelphia and Boston and Virginia and other places felt were their natural rights.
There are a number of organizations that are looking at this. I think because wireless is so new, we haven't gotten as well organized. I mean, the telcos have been a lobbying organization for a very long time.
Right.
Well financed, well organized, and municipalities have been at a disadvantage because you know we're the you know that local delivery, and so you know we need to step up and think more globally and broader about these issues. There are organizations like NATOA. We need to be talking to the National League of Cities and the U.S. Conference of Mayors.
Have they been very active or active enough to suit you so far on this?
I think that we haven't done a good enough job to get it to the elected officials. I think from a technology perspective, there's this understanding and communication that takes place amongst you know major cities and other cities across the United States. But we need to get the story out and help the public officials understand what this impact is.
Because, in fact, what you've done in Philadelphia is essentially mobilize the different constituencies within the city to see how Philadelphia as a whole could be benefited by this.
Correct.
What you're saying is that an analogous process hasn't yet taken place nationally among the cities to bring them all up to speed and convince them that they need to work together on this issue.
Right.
Okay. As I think it was Benjamin Franklin, someone there from Philadelphia said, we'll either hang together or we'll assuredly hang separately. It sounds like we're back in that same situation. SBC hasn't done anything similar in the California legislature to stifle what Los Angeles is planning to do, but one can only presume that they're looking. Verizon and SBC are the two monopoly providers in California, and mm-hmm. You can assume that they're paying close that they're listening to this conversation right now, as I'm recording it. They'll be listening to it this afternoon, and see what's happening. Arguments made on the part of the telcos that municipalities have unfair advantages. It says right here that in this email I got from Verizon that. It's reasonable that the legislation gives us some assurance that we'll be able to sell the services we're deploying and not be faced with a government competitor that stands to benefit from not paying taxes and other fees and getting access to cheap capital. The last time I looked, Verizon and SBC were flush with tens of billions of dollars in cash, and every city and every state in the United States is practically bankrupt because they can't raise taxes.
Absolutely. And, you know, the fallacy of that assumption is that we're financing it through taxes. We're not. That's why you have to have a revenue stream, so that you can derive the cash flow that allows you to do the social compact, you know, contract type stuff that we're looking to do, the education,
right.
Being sure that, you know, people have access to hardware to be able to take advantage of this.
Right.
And overcoming the digital divide, those type of things are the social contract that we owe to our city to be sure that they, our residents and businesses can be competitive. And again, we're talking about a citywide nomadic technology that isn't being provided today by the telcos.
We're
worried about the fixed in-house, but there's this whole realm of for field operations for cities and businesses. You got to have it outdoors. They're not there, and they're not providing it, and they need to buy time if they're going to be in that game.
Well, it's not used much anymore. I think Al Gore probably beat it into the ground. But the idea, the idea that all of this is an information superhighway, it's a given within within the country that public money can be spent on roads. The General Motors and Exxon don't have to are able to make money because the cities and the states and the federal government pay money to build roads that people drive around on and use the gasoline and buy the cars to run on. Is there an analogy there to say that the public ought to be entitled to build itself information superhighways on the same philosophical basis that it builds asphalt highways for itself?
Absolutely, especially if the deployment by the incumbents is not meeting the needs of the community, then there should be an opportunity to introduce competition. And what about fairness to emerging manufacturers, equipment manufacturers in this space of Wi-Fi and WiMAX?
So, in fact, private
if you regulate it, you know, to say that municipalities can't be in there, that market has taken off because governments have become interested for their own uses,
right,
service delivery.
Right.
If we own the assets and we want to use our assets to reduce the cost of government services, why should a corporation be able to dictate that we can't do that?
Is there the possibility under these in this situation that the city would be able still to do provision itself for its own internal use under Bill 30?
As long as we don't charge fees to the public for any use of it.
Right. So in other words, you could end up, let's say the bill is signed and it goes into place and there's no compromise, would you be likely to go forward to provide the wireless capability for yourself and then at another time come back again and try to make it available to the public? Is that a possibility?
Yes, it is a possibility.
Okay.
It's knowing your community. When my mayor comes to me and says, this has to be cost neutral to the city,
right,
it's a little hard to do that and build an infrastructure if you can't have any type of fee structure. Now, he was speaking specifically to, you know, the public services, but even on governmental services, there would have to, you know, be a cost payback. And for some communities like Corpus Christi, the reduced cost and automated meter reading is a justification for going ahead and providing this.
Right.
In our case, we already do automated meter reading.
Right.
So we don't get as big a benefit, although we should be able to reduce some of our costs. And as WiMAX comes out and there are alternatives to the wire lined, we should be able to reduce our costs. So there are ways for government to do it for government purposes to justify doing this.
But
the mayor's goals were in neighborhood revitalization.
Right.
I mean, that was the key that drove us to doing a community economic development and digital divide.
Right. Now, on the digital divide, as I've been thinking about it, putting myself back in Philadelphia in 1776 and overlaying the information superhighway on top of that, what I'm seeing is the situation in which this, I think when Benjamin Franklin got to Philadelphia the first time, it was the streets were full of mud because there were no paved streets. And the idea is that at certain roads do get paved, maybe between the big house and the bank or something, but that a lot of the people are living essentially in what you might call digital squalor, and the idea that it's mud roads to their place. There are no roads. There are no digital highways to a lot of people.
And if they are,
yes,
they're toll roads,
right,
for price that people can't afford to pay.
That's right. And so the idea, the first public library and the first, I keep harping on this, first public library and first public fire department, I think, were both in Philadelphia as well.
Yes.
Because the idea was that the whole community needs to benefit from the technologies of libraries, of fire departments, and of broadband wireless. And the same issues are still coming up 200 years later.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I'm going to go talk to Verizon now. Any particular questions? Would you like to talk? Do you think we could have an interview with the two of you together later today?
No, because I'm on a plane out of town.
Okay.
And I'll be back next Monday.
Okay. Anything in particular you want me to ask the people from Verizon?
No. They obviously have their point of view, and We are working for compromise for the city of Philadelphia, and as I said, the previous opinions were mine.
Right.
And
right. Well, Claire, you're speaking for yourself, not for Philadelphia.
Correct.
But thank you for speaking for yourself and to the extent that you did for Philadelphia, and I want to wish you all the success here that's possible under the constraints you're operating under, and hopefully we can maybe talk next week and see what happens.
Great.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Mark.
Bye.
Bye-bye.